And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Anyhow. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, go vegan. Peace. Now, go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Corporation of the United States of Listeria, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And for the next hour, your radio, your computer, your iPod is veganized for your protection. And happy Mother's Day, or I guess I should say happy Mother's Day, since so many people in the world seem to suffer the mistaken identity of a cow for their mother. I don't know how there could be such confusion. Perhaps the differences between people and their mother, the cow, are maybe they're not so easily discernible. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because...
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
After all, human child and cow mother, two eyes, two ears, a mouth, I can see the similarities, but shouldn't the four legs give it away? How about that long tail? And how many stomachs on a cow? Somehow the cow must be our mother, or why would we be drinking her milk? We're apparently cow children, huh? We go to a lot of trouble to drink cow mother's milk. Yeah, when the dog and cat are just lying there on the rug, not doing anything, why didn't we decide on dog milk or cat milk or squirrel milk? Probably a lot of energy in that. Nope, we're just a bunch of baby cows following the herd, sucking down those trans-species mammary secretions. Naturally? Really? Little human babies. Yeah, you see them crawling to the cow pastures to get their nourishment, right? Naturally? Oh, if we had to depend on that. It's pretty bizarre, huh? Here it is, Mother's Day. And, oh, we were hoping to have Dr. Gabriel Cousins on this week's program, but looks like he's involved with the birth of his first grandchild, so I don't think that he's going to make it on the program today. He will make it to the Southern California area next Sunday, May 21st, noon to 3 p.m., for Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening. That's his lecture, workshop, talk, meditation, and book signing at Leaf Cuisine in West Los Angeles. And also on Sunday, he'll be in Huntington Beach at the Living Temple, 7561 Center Avenue, 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., with the workshop, talk, meditation, book signing. But just in time for Mother's Day, Dr. Gabriel Cousins has put out an article called Perspectives on Dairy. And it's really interesting, very comprehensive. You can see it at treeoflife.nu, as in nutrition. The focus of the article is to clear some of the confusion about the purity, harmlessness, and safety of consuming dairy. And we'll get into the article a little bit here. He says this includes organic and raw unpasteurized dairy. Dairy products include milk, cheese, butter, cream, yogurt, and whey from lactating animals, whether raw or pasteurized. Milk contains opioids. It's not from the Andy Griffith Show. It's opioids. Casomorphins, which create a human addiction to it, one of which, according to Dr. Neil Barnard in his book Breaking the Food Seduction, is a... morphinogenic compound is powerful as one-tenth the power of pure morphine. So we have an addiction to that cow milk, huh? To keep the milk flowing, by the way, the dairy cow is artificially inseminated. Some might look at that as rape. She's artificially inseminated 2 to 3 months after giving birth, and the result is the crushing double whammy burden of pregnancy and lactation, 7 months out of every 12. So she's growing a calf inside her while simultaneously producing 30 to 50 liters of milk per day. So it's no wonder that soon into their lives, the cows can't even walk to slaughter. Their calcium has been robbed from them. And, you know, I don't know. Imagine this, Mom. How would you feel if your newborn baby were taken away from you just hours after birth? Well, that's the case for the male babies and for the female babies of cows. 3 days. And, you know, she wails in sadness because of the separation from her offspring. And her terror actually secretes toxins into the milk that you're drinking, the milk that should have gone to her offspring. The poor baby, the poor male baby is sentenced to, well, immobilized confinement, keeping him chained in a crate for up to 16 weeks. And then the baby has his throat slashed so his body can be served up as veal at a place like Wolfgang Puck's. You know, veal, is baby food. It's food that's made from a terrified, helpless baby. So let's drink to eating babies, huh? Hey, that's what you do with every glass of bloody milk that you drink. And yes, it is bloody. We'll get into that in a moment as we look at some of the material from Dr. Cousins' perspective on dairy. Let's see. Well, here's a quote in there. If we all became vegan, there would be enough energy and food to feed the world human population 7 times over. And with our population boom, we probably need to feed the population 7 times over. But we're not doing it because we're not on the right path here with our diet, our lifestyle. The food required to feed 100 cows could potentially feed 2,000 people. Almost 30,000 children starve to death every day. And that's not a happy Mother's Day for their moms, huh? For their families. 40 million humans die from hunger annually. And we look at, also in the article here, how we are actually a global village. And there's a section talking about Chernobyl reaching Boston in our global village. Well, why was there a 900% increase in perinatal mortality in Boston in the 6 weeks to 3 months after the Chernobyl disaster? Well, cows were consuming radioactive iodine that landed on grass and in the water, and the mothers were consuming milk. The human mothers were consuming milk tainted by radioactive iodine, which poisoned their babies. Poison the human babies. Now, cow milk drinkers face the consequences of chemtrail and depleted uranium atmospheric contamination. Well, according to the website notmilk.com, the average liter of milk in Florida has the highest content of pus cells in the country at 633 million pus cells per liter. Ah, perhaps you prefer living in Montana, which has the lowest pus content of milk in the country. And that's only 236 million per liter. Oh, man. Holy cow, huh? Holy cow. And then you're getting that along with pesticides and herbicides, antibiotics, hormones. We mentioned radioactive iodine and disease factors, including mad cow prion and bovine leukemia virus. Yummy. Got bovine leukemia virus? Research is showing that there is up to a gallon of extra mucus in the body, in the human body, as a result of drinking dairy. Mucus is associated with the fact that 80% of milk protein is casein, the main ingredient in Elmer's glue. And milk is a carrier for very significant disease vectors, so says Dr. Gabriel Cousins in his new article on dairy. Diarrhea, colitis, salmonella, E. coli, staphylococcus, etc. Children who drink cow's milk have an 11 times higher rate of juvenile diabetes than breastfed children. Bovine leukemia virus is found in about 80% of the dairy herds in the United States. It is mostly destroyed by pasteurization. In raw milk, 2/3 of the samples showed bovine leukemia virus. This virus is associated with human leukemia and lymphomas. Drinking more than a glass of milk each day or its equivalent gives women a 3.1 greater risk of ovarian cancer over non-milk drinkers. Research also shows persons drinking three or more glasses of milk a day had a twofold increase in lung cancer, and men drinking three glasses or more per day had 2.5 times the prostate cancer risk. And after the age of 5, many humans stop producing the lactase enzyme for digesting milk, creating a sensitivity we know as lactose intolerance. It's not a disease. It's not. It's actually normal. You know, we don't drink milk into our adulthood. At least no other species does, except our human species. That lactose intolerance, well, that plays havoc with the gastrointestinal system of 50 million Americans. Up to 90% of blacks have this condition, which is also very high in Asian and Hispanic populations. Problems include allergies, congestion, sinusitis. Anemia can result because of a bleeding reaction to milk in the GI tract. And drinking a lot of milk contributes to osteoporosis because of the high protein content. Cow's milk, 4 times higher in protein than human milk. It's designed for the massive skeletal growth of a 400-pound animal. Human milk has 6 to 10 times the essential fatty acids, especially linoleic acid, and DHA, needed for human brain and nervous system development. Ooh, we talk about DHA with omega Zen 3 a little later in the hour, how to get that. So basically, you should check out the article. It's Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and you can go to treeoflife.new, as in nutrition, NU. And it covers it all: inhumane cruelty, suffering and death, the waste of resources and ecological damage, the transmission of serious diseases, the association with juvenile diabetes, lactose intolerance and digestive disorders, and a myriad of toxins and contaminants. And he says, our consumption of dairy is misaligned with the healthy physiology of human nutrition or natural diet and life cycle of humans. So anyway, pretty interesting article. So I hope you check it out. Appropriate that it's released at Mother's Day. Mother's milk, our mother, the cow. Again, you can see Dr. Gabriel Cousins next Sunday. It's May 21st, noon to 3 p.m. at Leaf Cuisine, 11938 West Washington Boulevard in West L.A. Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening, the workshop, talk, meditation, and book signing. Again, noon to 3. And then also next Sunday, May 21st, 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Living Temple in Huntington Beach, 7561 Center Avenue. The same program there. And you know Dr. Cousins as the author of Spiritual Nutrition, Conscious Eating, Rainbow Green Live Food Cuisine, Sevenfold Peace, Depression Free for Life. And he's also been documenting a successful 30-day raw food program to treat diabetes and is having amazing results. So you can go to rawfor30days.com on that. And it's Mother's Day, and oh, we'll look in the studio here across the table from me. Kobe Siegenthaler is here at the studio, and hi, Kobe. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's good to have you here. For those of us in the Los Angeles area, we know Kobe, 80-plus years old, vegetarian all her life, and your mother was vegetarian, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
At 16 years old.
At 16 years old, your mother.
She started it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She was involved with the Vegetarian Society in Holland?
Always, yes.
Always, yeah. And it seems like vegetarians are always persecuted, you know. Was that the case with her?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
yeah.
What happened?
Well, when in college, you get to hear, but you were glad we were freed by all the Canadians and Americans and everything, but it shouldn't be that we have wars, and it is always about land and more cows, and it is a horrible situation. So if we all start living normal from plant food, we wouldn't have these wars. My children would never participate in any war. My husband would never be in any military form. My father wouldn't. So we have to live differently.
Right, because wars are fought over resources like water, land, oil. Yeah. Look at us where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And people would be interested to know that you and your, it was your husband Hans, and your families, your mother, were rescuing Jews from the Nazis during World War II.
Yeah, well, that happened, of course, because it was death at the door. So you cannot let your friends die when you see there is a way of helping out.
Right. So here's somebody who whose family back in Europe was helping Jews escape Nazis, and now her life is dedicated to animal liberation. So, I mean, you saw a Holocaust then, and mm-hmm. to you, it's a Holocaust that goes on now.
It is the same, yes.
It is the same, what goes on in the slaughterhouses.
All these animals have the same feelings of pleasure and sadness and all the same situations. They have eyes, they have hands and claws and wings and legs to run. It is all a living being, and
right.
we shouldn't be killing them.
And Kobe has dedicated her lives now to animal liberation after all the great work she did and the awards that they've won. And a lot of people consider her kind of the mother of the vegetarian movement here right now. Howard Lyman seems to call her mom and stays at her place. And, you know, whenever we go over to the house there's always food, even right out of the garden, right in the back.
That's only because people meet so few people that were lifelong vegetarians. In Holland, it isn't so strange.
Yeah.
There are older people than I am.
Mm-hmm. And you are lifelong vegetarian and vegan now for how long?
About 30 years, I guess. You have to ask Alex Herrschaff this. It was the first animal rights convention on the West Coast when I saw all these slides of the horrendous situations with animals that we decided, we cannot participate in this any longer. So
vegan for over 30 years, and then just last week or a couple of weeks ago when it was World Week for Animals in Laboratories, there's Kobe holding a sign at Phenomenex in Southern California. Phenomenex, who is making the restraints holding animals at Huntington Life Science, the restraints that hold the animals into their cruel experiments. And, you know, whenever there's a protest, if it's for the elephants to get them to a sanctuary from the LA Zoo, or for animals in the laboratories, a march at UCLA, Kobe is always there, so she's an example to us all. And so go vegan, get active for the animals. It's a pleasure to have her here today at Go Vegan with Bob Linden. My car broke down, and there's Kobe giving me the rides. So
well,
I appreciate that. That's,
I hope more people will give you a ride as long as that car is not working.
Well, I hope more people will give donations. That's what we need. We need to pay the radio stations for the airtime. I'm not worried about the car, but we have to get the word on about what happens to the animals and the people who eat them. So, and you can make a tax-deductible donation. The show is Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. Go to the website, goveganradio.com, and you can make a donation online right there at the website where we archive and podcast, or you can make a check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, and that's San Diego 92164. I really need your help. There are no major corporations helping finance this show. If you happen to hear a commercial by the products that are on here, all vegan and cruelty-free, and the sponsors help support the show. That's how we pay for it, through the sponsorship of advertising for vegan and cruelty-free products and the donation that you are about to make in your mother's honor, huh? As we go vegan, we give up veal, we give up meat. Okay, well, coming up on today's show, in keeping with the theme here, coming up we'll have Dr. Arthur Unger of the Sierra Club in Kern County on the environmental impact of 20 new dairies that are proposed for the San Joaquin Valley, and that will bring in 200,000 more cows. Also, a little bit later in the program, Amy Wyatt, the assistant general manager of the Boulder Co-op, on a new national boycott against Horizon Dairy for its questionable organic standards. All of this coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. Go vegan.
talking about how delicious Veggianaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianaise? Or a tofu burger with Veggianaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Wiebers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere.
Yeah, I was just in a natural food store, and somebody was looking at all the different bottles of Veggianaise, and I said, oh, you're going to love them all. And he was a little curious. One of them is made with grapeseed oil, which is kind of interesting. Grapeseed oil is a byproduct of wine production. It's been a favorite of European chefs for hundreds of years due to its fine qualities as an edible oil. But recent studies have demonstrated that grapeseed oil may also be effective in correcting blood cholesterol levels in certain individuals, thereby reducing their risk of cardiac events. In two studies, it was shown that subjects who included a small amount of grapeseed oil daily in a low-fat diet over a four-week period experienced an increase in their HDL of 13%, that's the good cholesterol, and a decrease in their LDL of 7%. And it was said increase in HDL, there's a 3-4%, let me see here what it say. It said, major studies have confirmed that for each percent increase in HDL, there's a 3-4% decrease in the incidence of cardiac events. Plus, Veggianaise is delicious. It makes everything scrumptious. So also from Follow Your Heart, stop giving your family the bird when you can give your family chicken-free chicken. And also, if as you have learned, dairy is scary, but you don't have to go without with vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, so you can have your enchiladas and nachos and pizza. And Follow Your Heart also gives you organic salad dressings, and the vegan ones are creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette.
Going to give it to people. Animal burger.
Oh, no. Not around here. Well, I'd like you to become aware of Health Force Nutritionals, a company that can really make a difference to your health and help you cleanse and heal and rejuvenate with Dr. Jameth Sheridan, who's been a guest on this show a number of times and in-demand lecturer. Formulated Vitamineral Green, containing 60 to 70% more superfoods, costing the same as others on the shelf, but offering significant nutritional advantages. It was designed to be the most nutrient-dense superfood product ever offered, and you get your naturally occurring, absorbable, and non-toxic vitamins, minerals, including calcium, trace minerals, no synthetic or isolated nutrients. What you get are all the essential amino acids. That's how you get your protein, not from cow milk. Antioxidants, fatty acids, chlorophyll, fiber, tens of thousands of phytonutrients. Let's see your dairy make that claim. Go to healthforce.com for information. Healthforce.com. Pick up Vitamineral Green. Look at the ingredients. I mean, it's a long list. Normally, when you see that on a package, you go, ah, look out. But when you read these, the ingredients are just incredibly great. Also, check out Greener Grasses, truly natural vitamin C, digestion enhancement enzymes, non-GMO lecithin powder, and nopal cactus. And for your animal, family members, green mush. Visit healthforce.com.
KFC, that's Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't want sick food served to me.
No, you don't. Hey, check out the novel Animal Instinct. A lot of people are talking about it, buying it. It's based on the author's true life experiences with the animal rights movement. That's Dorothy H. Hayes. It's the first novel that gives you a peek behind the scenes of a national animal rights organization. It's so funny to read it and see the characters and, you know, what goes on in your mind when you see, whoa, what's that person working there wearing? Why is that person wearing wool? And, you know, it's a novel with a vegan heroine. And you see it through her eyes. You become a soldier in the animal rights movement, confronting hunting and trapping and fur and factory farms. Animal Instinct is a plot-driven thriller, introducing the uninitiated to our cause while further educating activists. Buy it for your meat-eating friends and for your savvy animal rights friends. They may recognize some of the people in the movement. Who is in there? Well, see what it says about them. What about Paul and Linda McCartney, huh? Well, it's in there. Read the book. Read the book. You can go to the website, animalinstinctnovel.com, animalinstinctnovel.com. You can call 1-800-AUTHORS, but read the reviews of the novel. You will enjoy this book, okay? Animal Instinct, Dorothy H. Hayes.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue now at Go Vegan Radio, goveganradio.com, and radio stations on the left coast of the United States, including the Air America affiliate in San Francisco, and KTYM in Los Angeles. Well, Arthur Unger, medical doctor. Arthur Unger, MD, has been a primary health care practitioner in Bakersfield since 1966 and is a member of the Sierra Club for 40 years. He's on the executive committee of the Kern Kaweya. I'll see if I pronounce that right. Kern Kaweya chapter of the Sierra Club for 10 years. And he's involved with air and water quality issues in the San Joaquin Valley. Welcome, Dr. Unger. How are you today?
We're fine. How are you?
Great. Great to have you with us here. And, did I pronounce your Sierra Club chapter right? I got the Kern part right. I know that.
Yeah. There's a little river coming out of the Sierra. I mean, there's a zillion of them. And the one by us is the Kaweya.
Kaweya. Okay. So it's the
Kern... Come through Visalia.
Okay. So that's the Kern Kaweya chapter of the Sierra Club. And you're in the... right in the midst of things there with all the dairies, and I just recently became aware that there's a proposal for more than 20 new dairies for Kern County, for the San Joaquin Valley, and bringing in over 200,000 more cows to the area. And what's the situation there now prior to the arrival of more dairies? Isn't there a challenged environment already from the dairies who are there?
Well, we only have 2.5 million dairy cattle in the San Joaquin Valley.
Only 2.5 million, okay.
2.5 million. And we do have a couple of environmental problems. Now, Sierra Club can't verify or agree or disagree with the other things on this program, but we do have a little problem with the air. It seems that... the cows produce a lot of reactive organic gases. You have to keep in mind a little equation. I'll repeat it for the chemically challenged. Reactive organic gases combine with oxides of nitrogen in sunlight to form ozone. We call ozone smog. It's the baddest chemical in smog, does most of smog's damage. Now, scientists will fight desperately over how many pounds a cow makes in a day, but it turns out that given the current number, cows make 3/4 as much of reactive organic gases as all our cars and trucks put together.
Wow.
This gives us pause. Dairies do some other little air things like make oxides of nitrogen. But suburbanites are a far more virulent strain of creature. Mm. They make a lot more oxides of nitrogen.
And the San Joaquin Valley itself is, kind of like a bowl where it all, the smog just sits there. I thought that it might blow down to the Los Angeles area.
Nah. If you look at the map of California, you know, the Sierras on our one side and the coastal range on the other side. And on the bottom is the transverse range, the Tehachapis. and the smart dog gets caught in there, and especially the southern part of the valley has some of the worst ozone pollution in the U.S. And some years we beat Los Angeles.
And I've heard that there are more and more children using respirators in the area.
The rescue medicine for asthma, the one that just dilates the bronchi, doesn't stop you from getting an attack, but it'll stop an attack. About 1/6 of the kids in Fresno, a city up the valley from us, use those inhalators.
1/6 of that is astonishing. That's reason for pause right there. And we haven't mentioned methane either, which is a greenhouse gas, and cows are quite responsible for that too.
I was going to ask you, do all the animals in the world make a significant amount of greenhouse global warming gas or greenhouse gas?
You know, I'm not sure. There was an EarthSave study that that seemed to say that the contribution in particular by cows of methane is critical. And what do we have, 30, 40 million cows in the country at any one time? And it's their burps and the gas coming out of the other end, believe it or not, that seem to be the major contributors.
We didn't used to think that. We used to think it was the manure. But recent work at UC Davis and Cal State Fresno shows, no, it's what you said it was.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So if you're a cow, you got to make that stuff. Even if your caretaker is cleaning up all the feed that's left on the ground, which is another big source, and even if all the manure is well handled, you got that other. Mm-hmm. You got you can't control the two ends.
Right, right. You can't control what's going off in the wind there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I take it a lot of people are opposed to the new dairies coming in because of environmental factors, as you mentioned. And what's the situation with water in the area there?
Well, the California Water Atlas says it takes 932 gallons of water to make a gallon of milk. Now, this year, the Kern River reminded somebody who'd lived in New York of the Hudson River. But a lot of years, you can play volleyball in the Kern River if you like to play on a sandy court.
Mm-hmm.
So water is terribly scarce. There are years when we deliberately don't plant row crops, even though agriculture is a backbone of our economy. There are a few years where you let the row crops wither. Now, row crops are not what we call permanent crops. Trees are permanent crops. But what would you call cows? Do you let them wither when it's a dry year?
I don't know. You would hope not, but water is, when it's scarce, what do you do?
I don't know, but I know that if you're going to plant cows instead of row crops, which is the stuff vegetarians like me eat and vegans like you eat, plus cotton. If you're going to plant row crops, you take a hit. But if you're going to let your trees that took 5 years to come to maturity or your cows die, you're in years of trouble financially. It's very tough.
Mm. So you're saying that there's a water shortage now. What happens when 200,000 new cows are added?
Now doesn't mean 2006. It means our lifetimes and our children's lifetimes and forever. We get 6 inches of rain here in Bakersfield a year. Well, I can only guess, but none of the guesses are pleasant.
Right. Well, I've seen estimates as high as 8,500 gallons of water for the production of a pound of beef. And I've also heard that I, as a vegan, require 10,000 gallons of water to grow my food in a year, where the meat eater needs 132,000 gallons. So I'm sorry. Let me see. No, it was 320,000 gallons. I'm sorry. 320,000 gallons. So that 32 of me can be fed to one meat eater. So you've seen other numbers? Let's.
No, I haven't. I've seen numbers like those, but I don't have them on my fingertips.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's just those are just a couple I have memorized because they to me it's like, okay, you want that pound of beef? Take a gallon of, your gallon of Arrowhead Mountain Spring water, pour it out down the drain every day for 22 years, and there's your pound of beef. So, I mean, how can we keep on going like this? What are some of the solutions? Do we have any answers?
Well, the big water-wasting crop is one that I grow. We're at a third of an acre here in Bakersfield, and we have not turned on our sprinklers this year. We're letting the lawn die, and some year my wife will design a xeric garden for us to have in front of the house with just a few fruit trees. And that's... farms are 80% of California's water, but you have to eat. As we said, meat and milk demand a tremendous water input, but the lawn business has to go right away quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. And then there's the contamination of water from the dairies and meat and dairy industry.
Well, that sure happened near Los Angeles. I'm blocking the word. It certainly happened near Los Angeles. They say it can't happen here because we're so much smarter now. That's what all the dairy people tell you, every one of them.
I've heard it seems like we have bad intelligence in this country lately, so I don't know how much smarter we are with all our bad intelligence. But I mean, there's groundwater pollution and wastewater lagoons, and where does all the waste go again?
Well, the waste, the water is separated out and mixed. One part water that's been used and four parts fresh water and put on the crops. So you fertilize the crops and irrigate them at the same time. And that'll work if, A, you have the right amount of crops for the amount of fertilizer you're putting on it, and, B, the nutrients are in the right proportion, not too much nitrogen and too little phosphate or vice versa. The farmers tell me that they have to use inorganic fertilizer, synthetic fertilizer, to supplement the cow manure that they put on the crops. And by the way, the cow manure, a lot of that can go on crops, or there's a high-tech solution for the cow manure.
Well,
but I don't know that we're always using the right proportions, and I don't know if we sometimes put too much manure, more manure on the land than the crop will tolerate.
Yeah, well, it's sounds like it's a mess in the San Joaquin Valley, and I don't know why people would tolerate it other than milk and dairy are, what, a $382 million industry currently in Kern County. Maybe that's the reason.
It depends how you figure it. It takes 200 cows to make a job, but that you have to, that's right on the dairy. Then you have to figure all the people who make the milk into cheese and truck it around and ruin our roads with the trucks
and use up all the oil.
Then they get a pretty big number. They get like $3 billion with a B in the state.
Well, then I guess it's okay for all the kids to have respirators then, because money's being made. We have about another minute or two, and I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything that you wanted to get to, if there was something regarding the environmental impact of the potential 20 new dairies proposed for Kern County.
Well, I can speak of the pesticides that organic dairies don't use, and these dairies do use, and the pesticides contribute to our air pollution, not through ozone, but their particles. And a controversy, the dairies make a great deal of ammonia. The ammonia reacts with the excrement of the suburbanites, namely oxides of nitrogen, to make ammonium nitrate. Some say breathing ammonium nitrate's okay, some say it's not. And the little particles you put in the air when you burn things perhaps attach to ammonium nitrate and make it super deadly. So those are questions that I have that I haven't learned an answer to. The antibiotics in the dairies, by the way, is said by California Department of Food and Agriculture to be, quote, very, very rare, unquote.
Mm-hmm. And bovine growth hormone, you're not allowed to say if it's in your milk or not, because I guess Monsanto sues people who say whether it is or isn't. So
could be.
Yeah. Well, we've been speaking to Dr. Arthur Unger of the Sierra Club, the situation going on in the San Joaquin Valley. And we'll stay in touch on this as there are developments. I know that there was a conference recently held, and I'm going to want to talk to some of those professors and some of the people who attended. I think it was a conference at on the campus in Bakersfield, and it was Dairies and the Kern County Environment, Diverse Perspectives on What the Public Should Know. What should the public know? Well, I'm glad they know now what Dr. Unger has said, and thank you for being with us today, Dr. Unger.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, I appreciate it. If you've missed any of this interview, the show is archived at goveganradio.com, usually by Sunday afternoon, if my geeks are on the job. Check it out there. We also podcast there, and you can make an online donation. So we should do break. Let's break. Go into break two. So a little music maestro. We'll do break two. And we're shuffling here because we didn't know how many guests were going to be on and who, and had to figure out what my name was on my laundry so I can tell. Okay, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I want to tell you about a wonderful spread and dip. No, it's not our exercise break at the halfway point of the show. It's what I've been enjoying lately from Toby's Family Foods, a delicious tofu spread and dip. I saw them at Whole Foods and said, I have to try this. I read the label, and well, four out of the five varieties are vegan. The one that's original is not suitable for vegans, but suitable and delicious for vegans. Yes, roasted garlic and red pepper, mild jalapeno, classic lemon dill, and martini olive, all quite delicious. And, they're a real winner, really delicious on bagels and chips and sandwiches, and I think you're going to enjoy it. In fact, allow me to allow you to enjoy it, and you can have a container for free, courtesy of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. All you have to do is call Toby's Family Foods at 1-800-600-TOFU, 1-800-600-TOFU, and you can get yourself a container of free dip. You can also email info@tobysfamilyfoods.com, no apostrophe, info@tobysfamilyfoods.com. Again, it's 1-800-600-TOFU.
Heart attack and cancer tomorrow.
Here's an interesting book you might be interested in reading, Animals and the Afterlife. Kim Sheridan, the author, was on our program just a few weeks back. You can hear that interview at goveganradio.com. Animals and the Afterlife, the Forward Magazine Book of the Year award winner, and it's available in bookstores throughout the United States. And a lot of people are interested in the subject matter. She poses the questions, do animals have souls? What happens when they die? And she addresses those issues, and she is quite the animal lover. It's such a sensitive read. I was crying by page two, but, it's like an emotional attachment cry, a good cry, because it's great to see somebody who loves animals this much. So Jack Canfield said, Kim Sheridan has the ability to open minds and touch hearts, presented in an intelligent and down-to-earth manner. This book will surely touch the lives of animal lovers everywhere. And it did that to me, I'll tell you. So you can go to the website. It's animalsandtheafterlife.com for information. Animalsandtheafterlife.com.
tummy. It isn't a graveyard.
That was my tummy isn't a graveyard. Yes? Okay. We were talking about DHA a little earlier.
Shame on you, Canada.
Shame on the Canadian seal killers. Okay, out of the mouths of babes. We were talking about DHA a little earlier in being in mother's breast milk, but not in cow milk, huh? Well, DHA is a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid considered a critical nutrient, one of the main components of the brain required for functioning of all neural systems, including vision. In studies, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, Alzheimer's, depression, ADD, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, dyslexia, and it was shown DHA supplementation improved those conditions. So, where to get yours? Well, you don't want to get it from, you know, fish sources. You don't want your omega-3s to be a little fishy, you know, because then you're actually depleting the oceans and you're making yourself susceptible to the toxins like mercury and heavy metals and PCBs and the like. So what you want is the original vegan omega-3. That's Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. Omega Zen 3, available now at all Southern California Whole Foods markets. If you're not in the area, go to the website, Nutru, Nutru.com, Nutru. It provides you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulation derived from natural, plant-based marine sources. And, you know, it's been shown by the Environmental Defense Organization Oceans Program as a best choice product, with test results showing no mercury, no PCBs, dioxins, or other similar contaminants that you might find in your glass of milk, huh? Okay, so anyway, check it out at your Whole Foods location, Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. Omega Zen 3. You'll be glad you did. Oh, and we were talking a little bit about perhaps you making a donation to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Also, I'm kind of teamed up now with Last Chance for Animals. I just respect what Last Chance for Animals does so much. I mean, if you saw the HBO special Dealing Dogs and what LCA does, LCA has been around 3 decades now, involved in the dirty work, the undercover investigations. If you saw Dealing Dogs, you saw what that was about, but that's going to turn out to, you know, it looks like with all the animals saved, it may come out to 21,000 animals saved from bee dealers. So 21,000 animals saved every year from the investigative work done by Last Chance for Animals, which also does work regarding legislation and education. So, and these investigations take a long time. They're expensive. People have to be put up in hotels, and, you know, all of that adds up. So we have an agreement that you make a donation to Last Chance for Animals and say that it was motivated by Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And this program will get a percentage of those donations to help pay for airtime. We have to buy the airtime every week from the radio stations. They don't just give us free time to insult all the other advertisers who are on, you know, every other hour all week long. So make a donation to Last Chance for Animals, but make sure that you say, I'm doing it because of Go Vegan with Bob Linden or Go Vegan Radio. And you can mail your check to Last Chance for Animals. That's 8033 Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, 90046. That's 8033 Sunset Boulevard, LA, 90046. Or go to the website. You can donate online at lcanimal.org, where you can also say that you're doing it because of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. But, you know, Chris DeRose is a real hero. I mean, he's do the movie of his life, because that guy is something else. He kicked down the doors of UCLA to first show us what goes on in the research labs, and he just doesn't quit. You know, he's out there for the elephants at the zoo, and now the undercover work. So do that, and you'll be really helping out two really good causes, because then I'll have the money to go on the air and talk about how great LCA is. And, you know, it's what it's about here. This isn't my show. It's a show for the animals, for the children, for the planet. And that's why we have Amy Wyatt coming up on the show right now. Amy is the Assistant General Manager for the Boulder Co-op, And there's a new national boycott of Horizon Dairy. And this was going into effect, just days ago. There was Amy and others removing Horizon from the shelves of the co-op in Boulder. And welcome, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Good. How are you?
Excellent. It's great to have you here today. And, every time we have a chance to educate people about, meat and dairy and going vegan is a good occasion. And you tell us a bit about what has motivated your boycott. And there are co-ops around the country joining in now. You're with the Boulder Co-op. What's motivating this boycott of Horizon Dairy, which I guess Horizon calls itself Horizon Organic, but for the sake of this show, we'll just say Horizon Dairy because we're not so sure about organic.
We just call it Horizon Dairy as well. And our boycott originated from the Organic Consumers Association. I've been following the controversies regarding organic dairy and Horizon in particular over the past year or so. And at the end of April, the Organic Consumers Association put the issue to a vote amongst their participants and found an overwhelming amount of support amongst people who subscribe to their newsletter and are members of the Organic Consumers Association to support a boycott against the questionable practices that Horizon is engaging in terms of their dairy production.
And what are some of those questionable practices?
Well, the questionable practices that sort of motivated our decision to participate in the boycott have to do mostly with pasturing and confinement issues. Horizon does own a 4,000-cow dairy in Idaho. Anyone who's ever actually spent time around cows knows that cows are sort of on their own time. They don't understand being in a hurry to make things happen. And having 4,000 cows on a farm, it's pretty much impossible to get all of those cows out to eat the grass and back into the barn three times a day to be milked.
So that sounds more like a factory farm confinement situation in a way.
That was what some of our concerns were. And unfortunately, the USDA requirements for organic certification don't specify any requirements regarding the pasturing of animals. That's something that's currently under review, and more information is available about that on the Organic Consumers Association website. But right now, in order to call something organic dairy, those cows never have to see the light of day, technically. And I think that a lot of consumers are surprised to learn that when they see the packages of organic milk that have a little red barn and a farmer and a cow out eating grass, they don't really understand that technically those cows actually don't have to be outside.
Mm-hmm. And Horizon Dairy is owned by the largest dairy in the country, isn't it?
Dean Foods owns Horizon Dairy and as well as White Wave. And they primarily, they're the largest milk bottler in the entire world. They primarily deal with conventional factory farmed dairy products, but also do own Horizon.
Mm. And, there was something just going on with the USDA in considering new organic standards, which so-called organic dairy feedlots would be allowed to continuously import calves from conventional farms where the calves have been weaned on blood and dosed with antibiotics and fed genetically engineered grains and slaughterhouse waste, and would also allow over 500 artificial synthetic ingredients in organic foods. So the organic standards are under attack and not necessarily in place, it seems, when it comes to Horizon Dairy, owned by Dean Foods. And you said it also owns White Wave, which is your local tofu maker, isn't it, in Boulder?
Manufacturer of silk. And yeah, one of the interesting things is that White Wave and Horizon are both based in Boulder County. So this is a very close to home kind of issue, and we put a lot of careful consideration into whether this was in our best interest. And what it came down to is sort of excluding any financial consequences or anything that had to do with that, and making this decision based on what we felt the needs of and the motivations of our members are. We are a vegetarian community organization. As a co-op, we are member-owned, and we just felt like this was the best way that we could represent our mission and our values, which are reflected by our ownership, which is our members.
Right. So, and of course, my ulterior motive is now to bring the organic dairy to collapse and maybe get co-ops to be vegan. that would be my main desire. So I'll have to work on that. Now, another thing, we just had Ronnie Cummins on the show couple of weeks back from the Organic Consumers Association, and he's a little upset with White Wave and Silk right now, saying that they're abandoning the organic soybean farmers in the United States for cheaper soybeans from China, where organic standards are dubious.
Really, what is coming into the popular consciousness a lot more is that what organic means is really being questioned, and again, people do have a certain conception about what something means when it's organic and pay a premium price for products that are produced organically because they think that they're getting one thing. And not only are there regulatory issues in terms of the USDA and what is and isn't allowed in organic practices, but there are also enforcement issues because the federal government and the USDA doesn't enforce the organic certification. Those are required to be regulated on a local basis.
So there are basically no rules, and they don't enforce them.
Well, yeah, that leaves it pretty open-ended, doesn't it?
Oh, what a great system that is. No rules, and therefore we don't enforce them. What rules would we enforce, huh? I just wanted to mention also that the Organic Consumers Association is looking for activists to leaflet Starbucks locations in their neighborhoods between June 19th and the 25th to pressure the Java giant to discontinue serving milk from cows who are injected with Monsanto's controversial bovine growth hormone, RBGH, which the Organic Consumers Association says is a cancer threat to humans. And virtually all industrial countries have banned the use of RBGH, but not here. So to leaflet at Starbucks, you can contact organicconsumers.org. We might have another minute or so, Amy. Anything we missed that you wanted to get to regarding this? Amy Wyatt, the Assistant General Manager for the Boulder Co-op, where we're boycotting. I always boycott Horizon Dairy. I guess I'm always boycotting Canadian seafood also. I don't have a chance to boycott a lot because I already am boycotting, you know, like for the seals, there's a boycott against Canadian seafood and red lobster. But in a minute we have left, anything I missed, Amy?
I really just think that this is a great opportunity for us to educate consumers and encourage people to really ask the right questions about the foods that they're choosing to purchase, and to educate themselves about who owns the companies that are even manufacturing the vegan products or the vegetarian products that they're choosing to purchase. And we always encourage our members and our customers to acknowledge that they have the ability to use their economic vote. And any information that we can provide to consumers that helps them to exercise that vote in a more educated fashion.
But we still support and are very pro-organic when it comes to fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, the plant foods of the world. Just a little suspect about the organic animal foods.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Amy. It was great having you on the program today, and good luck at the Boulder Co-op. Your restaurant there was named one of the 10 best vegetarian restaurants in the country?
Alternative Madison magazine just named us one of the 10 best vegetarian restaurants, Cafe Prasad.
So you must look forward to lunch every day.
Hey, it's great to have a vegan cafe right at my fingertips.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Amy Wyatt from the Boulder Co-op. Let's see. We're just running out. We're about out of time already. Okay. Well, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I thank you for listening. We're archived and podcasting at goveganradio.com. Please send money. We need to pay for the airtime. Thanks so much.